That intro is just getting smoother and fucking smoother. Wow. That bike fell over on me. Who put that fucking bike there, man? What's up? Good morning. Welcome to the morning routine. Hopefully you can hear my voice and I have no technical difficulties. What is this? Morning routine number 500? Where are we at? Morning routine number 100. For special guest, Jake 100. Nah, this is number 56. Let me take this off my ear. It's weird. I hope you guys got your coffee. I got the rest of mine right here. I know Jake's kicking back. It's like afternoon. He's probably had four or five, spots of tea. So he's amped. He's ready. He's hyped. Today, I thought I'd do a little something different. Instead of going straight in and introducing Jake, we would play a video that Jake and I shot last time he was here in New York with a good friend and a homie, Lottie Dottie. So before we get to see Jake's face and hear from him, let's see if I can share the screen. Let me see. This screen here, share. You can see that, right, Jake? All right, and I'm gonna full screen it. All the technical difficulties. That's why I like this. Here we go. Can you see that, Jake? All right, let's do this. You can go ahead and unmute. Let's see, picture full screen, there it is. Welcome to the morning routine where Terry fucks everything up. Here we go. First video, we're going to start this off to introduce Jake. This is 4K chasing Jake 100 and Lottie. Don't judge me on the music choices, people. Thank you.
Yo, so we're out here, 7th Avenue, New York City, Manhattan. It's freezing outside, but we're still out trying to put in some work, doing what we do best. We've had to swerve some cars, pull some stunts, and we've Lottie Daddy, the man himself, you know.
We out here, man, New York City. Shout out to the whole UK, shout out to the whole world. Bike life, this is what we do, man. We fucking up the streets. Let's get it.
Let's go.
This was a fun one. We shot this all on a RX100, like a little tiny point and shoot camera. Tiny camera. You don't need no big camera to do nothing. And look at the skills here. These guys are from two different parts of the world riding together. It's pretty sick. So that's Jake right there on his collective bike, the C1 Hundo. We're gonna get him to talk about that in a little bit. This is a little too loud. A lot of this video is photos. A lot of still photos put together. All these little glitchy things right here. These two, there's a lot of people who are in this scene riding, and these two are some of the best, probably the fastest. They ride so fucking fast on one wheel. Sick. I'm just trying to get the hype up right now, Jake. I'm hyping it up.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't think they even use the front wheels. Oh, there he goes. Yo, that lady was telling us to be careful. Also, Deep Lottie, he was already in that COVID gear. He was already wearing a face mask way before it was popular. Frame bag on there too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's heavy game. Yeah.
Start something off with Jake 100. We got Jake 100 here with right now. What up, Jake? Say what's up to everybody.
How you doing, man? How's everybody doing?
Good, man. How's it all across the pond? How are things across the pond?
Right now, it's okay. The weather is good. The sun is shining. I'm outside in a t-shirt every day at the moment, which is a blessing as always. You know, you can't. There's not better weather to ride your bike in. People, I don't know, the country's spirit seem to be back up. Everyone seems to be a bit happier right now. I think everyone's enjoying the break from normal life and work. It is obviously a sad situation and it's kind of bad out here. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to those. But for me, I'm just trying to stay positive, enjoy life as much as possible as always. And yeah, just have a good time. Like,
yeah. Can you introduce everyone to how you got into riding and your particular style of riding? Because I think you're the first one on the show everyone, like I like the channel, everyone. I always try to push all bikes, all wheels, any, like just whatever you're doing, get out there and do it. Much love to it all. But there's not a lot of... people in your genre of riding that I have on my channel, so kind of explain where you came from and what you're doing.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in East London, and I guess bikes is just that one. Is from young, if you ride a bike, you find out about this freedom that no other sport, no other mode of transport can give you. So I guess me and my friends enjoyed riding bikes. We used to BMX in the local skate park, ride down like to the woods nearby and try and ride in like the little forest that we had, like the only off-road bit we had near us in East London.
Yep.
And we just enjoyed that a lot. And then upon getting a major knee injury where I basically destroyed my whole left knee BMXing, I got a mountain bike and started to pull tricks on a mountain bike instead. On like the local estate or outside the local youth center or just on the high street, like we was competing who could like wheelie the five like street lines the furthest or something, like super basic stuff, but we was just having a lot of fun. And I guess the more we would do that, we would just naturally push each other to like try a wheelie with one hand and stuff. And then somehow in the space of like 5-6 years, I've gone from literally like learning to wheelie to it being my life now, literally.
Yeah.
I'm doing it every single day.
Yeah. And you've done more than you started, or at least when I first heard of you. So we met through Rukla, Matt Watson, when I was out there two Januaries ago. And he was like, I got this dude. He's fucking like, you know, he does amazing things on a bike. He's in a different scene. And I'd already seen your stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, word. Yeah. Let's introduce me. And then we just met and immediately just went and filmed. And then you came to New York.
Yeah, the online.
Yeah, yeah. And then you came to New York. And then, you met up with Lottie. That was cool. So when Matt introduced you to me, when he was telling me about you, he was telling me about how you were doing the knives down, bikes up, Can you tell everyone a little bit about that?
Yeah, so in our scene, especially out here in London and the UK, a strong message that our scene pushes and has pushed for years is bikes up, knives down. I guess it was inspired by some of the American bike life culture where it's like bikes up, guns down. But out here, the real prominent problem in the streets right now is the knife crime, and the numbers were like the past couple of years been the highest numbers of knife crime for a long time. So our message was for kids to pick up a bike, get out of their local area, stay away from the people that are peer pressuring them and getting them involved in situations which may result in knife crime, picking up their bike, putting that front wheel in the air and just coming ride and like hang out with everyone, put the knife down and just pick up the bike. Like,
yeah. And since then, you've had ride outs in London that are massive.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been these, the Bike Storms ride outs. They have about, I think one of them had like over 5,000. Well, the police said they estimated it to have over 5,000 riders.
Yeah.
In the streets. Yeah. In which there was no problems, no kids fighting each other, no one's getting stabbed. Like, kids from every bit of the UK, France, Poland, wherever, like, they're flying out to London to come to ride. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
So when did people start to notice your guys' skills and everything over there?
It's interesting. Like, so I guess back in the early days, probably around 2014, those sort of days, that's when we were like kind of starting to post things on Instagram and whatnot. And I guess we have small companies would hit us up, yo, here's a free t-shirt, da da da.
Yeah.
We did the odd little music video for a couple small rappers or whatever, like, did a couple little photo shoots and stuff. So we were having, from kind of early on, we were having kind of small businesses or whatnot recognize us, or like music videos, rappers and stuff. Then I guess as everyone's social media profile started to grow, and as we started moving onto YouTube and I started doing little vlogs and shooting little edits for YouTube, I guess that's when it just started to grow and grow. And once our tricks were getting more and more advanced, I guess like they were just getting shared around the internet like a lot more regularly at that time, because it was so new. So every type of meme page and bike page and whatnot were sharing like the new tricks we were doing. So I think for like, it kind of grew pretty quickly over a couple of years. And now it's a very common thing to see in London, is kids put wheelies.
And you especially kind of, because you were doing this thing for the youth, you kind of were like almost like a role model figure, right?
Like, yeah.
Early on.
Yeah, so I guess where we was pushing this slogan, and I played, especially in the very early Bike Storms, I played a big part in the organization and getting that together.
Big up the 30 fam.
Alongside Mac Ferrari, who was kind of, he's not as much of a rider, he's a bit more of like a youth hero who kind of made it happen, would talk to the police and stuff. So I guess that was something that kind of pushed my personal, like myself to become this sort of role model, to kind of look out for the younger people and encourage these young people to get on the bikes. And especially with some of the experiences I experienced growing up in London, I was very easy, like I could relate to these young people and show them like, although you've been around this or been involved in this, you can still flip that around and you can use the bike to help you do that.
Yeah. Not only is it's transportation and wheels of freedom away from wherever
An escape
where
it's
they live, they can go somewhere else, and they have it as a tool to develop confidence and skills and build
and
on something.
And the community, they can get involved and be a part of a community that doesn't that no one's going to judge them on their past or where they're from or their background, because everybody shares the same interest and the same passion to just ride the bike, you know?
Yeah.
Which is something that, you don't find many communities or whatnot that just openly accept anyone.
Yeah. Man, it's rad what you're doing out there. There's scenes here and at the scene there, especially with you and like, I know like Nike, the whole, the way that it seems like they have not adopted, that's the wrong word, but like, really accepted everything and like really kind of helped you to push it even further is really cool. Can you talk about a little bit about like, your kind of your setup or whatever's going on with Nike or how that's helping you?
So the whole Nike thing, it's crazy because even when I talk about it now, like if I'm talking about it with someone like you, it's like it starts blowing my mind again that it's even got to this stage because obviously I was riding for a while, hated college, went to college for 3 weeks. Like at 16, we finished school and then you have to do 2 more years of education in either like university or college or whatever. Went to college for a couple of weeks, hated it. Ended up getting a job in a bike shop. And after 2.5 years of working in the bike shop, Nike bought me out of my contract with the bike shop. And then I was now signed to Nike as an ambassador, basically. Yeah. Which was mind-blowing. And that kind of came about from, it's funny, I got hit up by these guys who were like, yo, we want you to like, we just need to shoot a little something with you on a Santander bike. All you need to do is pull a couple wheelies, say a couple lines to camera. And then we got like 50 quid for you.
You're like, yeah, I got that.
And I'm like, yeah, that's light work. I could do that. I'm thinking, they're like, yeah, it's for a massive sports brand, but it's an internal campaign. Like, you'll never see it anywhere. I'm like, oh, so it's a massive brand. Like, really? They should be paying me more than £50. But like, hey, I don't know who it is. I'm going to just make sure I shout my Instagram name out in the clip in case they don't. You know what I mean? I was like, in case they don't know who I am. At these times, I think Nike were pretty, like, they were clued up on who I was, but it was an agency handling this shoot. So I had no idea if it was even Nike at this point. Nothing came of it. They did it, cool, got my £50. I was like, sweet, whatever. And then like 6 months later, I get help again to now do some stuff to be involved in the Nike campaign, the big Londoner one. So this was this campaign where they really shone a positive light on different young people in London. From young footballers to boxers to swimmers, like they would just find young, talented young people in each sort of sport and bring them together in one big campaign. I ended up being the last bit of the campaign, wheeling through a busy street in central London with no front wheel. I had like police escort. I was going through every red light with like 2 police motorbikes in front of me and 2 behind me to make a camera crew and stuff. Like, that was crazy. Got paid better for that one. I spent literally all the money I made from the advert and flew out to America for like 3 weeks, literally on my own at like 18 years old, just straight to New York and then straight to Cali. And then whilst I was out there, I had some interest from other little companies about some stuff. But basically ended up chatting to the guys at Nike and finding out that they were interested in making me exclusive to Nike and basically signing to Nike.
So what exactly does that mean?
So
explain what that means. So to people, because be I don't know anyone who's sponsored by Nike.
Yeah, so it's not
I mean,
like
I know you.
6-page document with loads and loads of things. It's cool. Yeah. Like, it basically, I'm exclusive to Nike sportswear wise, so I can't go and obviously wear any other competing sportswear brands. From day dot with Nike, they've never like tried to change who I was. Do you know what I mean? Like, yo, you can't really ride this type of way. I've never had that. So it was always a very positive relationship. I felt comfortable from the start because they actually wanted who I was. They weren't saying, yo, we can't sign you if you're going to go and ride through a red light. There was none of that. So it's pretty chilled. It's like, and then there's little bits I have to do, like get involved in certain campaigns once or twice a year. But otherwise it's pretty much just keeping up what I'm doing, wearing Nike, doing my thing. A big part for me signing with them, I wanted them to really be able to support me, supporting my community. So to help me work on some stuff. So like in my, so like recently alongside Nike, I've set up a project to train young people in my local, like in my local community. We're training them up in bicycle maintenance with the goal of getting 100 young people qualified as bicycle mechanics so that they can get a job. So I guess as my role as Nike is kind of still being that role model, wearing Nike, pushing myself and supporting, you know, where I come from, which is sick. Yeah, it's like a dream.
And then at the same time, while that's all going on, in the YouTube world, I noticed you and I was like, man, Jake's blowing up. And you hit 100K like months back. And I was like, damn.
Yeah.
So your YouTube is also doing pretty well as well, right? Because you were doing those one laps.
Yeah.
Like once a week.
I've been doing them for a while.
Yeah. They're sick. Yeah. Oh, you haven't done one for a while.
Nah, man. The YouTube game, man.
It's hard, right? It's a grind.
Yeah, man. Like, it seems easy for a while, I guess, but then it's like to keep the consistency
hit and the upload button,
the kind of like then editing and doing it's fun. I love YouTube though. I always love YouTube because I can always go back and now I've got a whole archive of footage.
Yeah, it sits
online
there.
And it's just it's beautiful. But yeah, the YouTube game is hard. Like, I haven't uploaded for like a month and a bit right now. But it's partly because of
a weird time right now.
Exactly, you know? But. Yeah, the YouTube thing's cool. The one laps is, I for sure need to get back on them because some of them were doing like numbers for these guys. And it was a real nice way for me to be able to use my platform to showcase
other people,
other riders in the scene. And also, I feel like a lot of people who are new to the scene will think, oh, there's a bunch of guys, they all pull the same tricks, they all pull wheelies, like it's just the same shit.
No, it's different.
But
styles,
when
man.
You exactly when I started making these one laps and I'm seeing the styles of riders, some of don't really care about the tricks and care about their flow, whereas others are much more care about all these intricate
combos. They're super tech and they're like moving their body all around their bike.
I can't do any of that. Those tricks there, like that blows my mind, like these 12-year-old kids who are then
they're like dancing on the bike on one wheel.
So that was YouTube. Was the more I started to use YouTube and come up with ideas, it was I loved YouTube to be able to showcase more of my personality and what we do on a day-to-day instead of just a 1-minute video on Instagram, but also to showcase the people around me and how much fun and how much of a positive thing it is for us to go and ride.
Yeah, that's cool. You got to get back on that. I know that, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I know you kind of hinted to me that you're working on a project right now.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk a little bit about it, and then I'm going to try, I don't have it loaded up, but maybe I can try and find that clip that kind of circulated the internet recently. That's pretty sick. It's on Instagram.
Yeah. So
talk about that.
Recently, the past couple of weeks I've been, literally been on night shifts. Like I'll be going out around 10 p.m. and I'm out until 3-4 a.m. in the morning at this super quiet location. It's literally just dead still. The security are friends, like they're calling us tricks to try. The police yesterday pulled up to us at like 2:30 in the morning. I was like, what are you guys doing here? And we was like, we're just shooting. They were like, yo, can we see some of the content? We're showing them all the clips.
Oh, that's cool, man.
So like we found this super cool spot that's like dead chilling. It's like the other day I landed like this crazy trick I've never done before and it was trying for hours, and all the security team was watching, and as I landed it they like drifted off, like wheel spun off the station floor. So yeah, like we found this super cool spot and me and my friend Bradley, we started coming up with tricks inspired by like Tate Ross, Fabio Wibmar, Danny McCaskill, these sort of tricks that shouldn't really be possible, but if you try hard enough and work hard enough, you can make it happen. And we was doing a couple of those for Instagram and they seemed to like start doing really well. Like people's reaction, people are mind blown, like they're going all over the internet. Like, so it was like, yo, let's take a break from just posting these clips on Instagram and let's push ourselves harder, let's work harder, like let's really push our limits mentally and physically to create a piece of video with all the hardest tricks we can do, like nothing.
It's like the opposite of your one lap series. Like, not saying that those don't take a lot of work, but it's like you do it in a day.
Yeah, sure, one lap in an hour.
Where this is like you're spending days and days, hours and hours to build an edit. It's kind of like a traditional skate edit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And these are my favorite sort of projects to work on, because even though it's a lot more hard work and a lot more stress, and certain nights, like even like last night, we're there for 4 hours and we got no clips for the video. Like zero. Like we're trying shit for hours.
You just feel defeated when you go home?
And you get to the end and you're like, I take my helmet off, my hair's just fucking dripping with sweat, my body's just feeling tired. I'm like, and then that's the hardest point, trying to call it a night. But yeah, it's super fun. And then we're going to put it together and we're going to launch it as like one of the first videos for Down to Ride's YouTube channel, basically.
Down to Ride.
Yeah, Down to Ride is like my new.
You got another one.
It's going to be my little brand, but Down to Ride is also.
Right there. You got it on the shirt, man. This guy. You got to teach me some marketing stuff.
No, Down to Ride is what we're calling the charity project. In which we're training young people. And then Down to Ride, like next year, I'll probably drop like a clothing line to it, which you're probably the first person to hear about that online.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably drop a little
exclusive. We're probably gonna drop a little. Yeah, I'm gonna drop a clothing line next year.
That's rad.
Hopefully, make some bike tools one day. Yeah, that go in line with the project, so that we can just give them out to young people and kind of have a social enterprise sort of business.
Wow, that's great, man.
Yeah, so this project we're working on is for the kind of one of the first videos for the Down to Ride YouTube channel, which is it's exciting.
Sweet, man. And you're putting hours and hours into it. That's great.
We have nothing better to do, man. It's lockdown.
Might
as well. And
this is the perfect time, man. If you can't be working or you can't do things normally and you have extra time, invest in yourself or invest in something, you know.
Exactly. We actually worked on a solo project as well. Another one that took probably about 3 and a bit weeks to film. And I actually, this is all I can say, but I've worked with Matt Ray from
he's in the chat. Shout out to Matt.
Oh, he's in? Yeah.
Yeah, he's in here.
He actually absolutely killed it. Like, he helped me edit this other project that I shot last month.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about the project, but it's probably my best piece of work that I filmed. And then obviously with Matt's level of editing and
he goes deep in there.
Insane, like it's beautiful. So yeah, like literally since lockdown, I've worked on pretty much two projects, and then just behind the scenes, emails, Zoom calls, all of that sort of shit, man.
Hell yeah. I wanted you to talk about. I wanted you to just keep plugging yourself. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. I wanted you to talk about how you got with Collective Bikes, because you have, you know, you have your own bike, and you're also one of the few people. There's been people on the show who are like sponsored by bike companies, but you like have your own bike, signature bike, which is cool, man. So. I'm going to see if I can share. I'm going to try to share it, but go ahead and talk about it real quick while I'm pulling it up.
Yeah, so the C100 is obviously, the Collective Bikes 100, like J100, C100. Yep. That was like a dream came true that sort of came out of nowhere as well. So probably about 4 years ago. It's funny, the story, actually. About 4 years ago, Ryan Taylor, who is one of the owners of Collective Bikes.
Yeah.
He's not from London, but he now lives in London, but at this time he was still living up the north of England. But he posted a picture in London, like on South Bank, on his bike. And so I remember commenting like, yo, how are you in London? But you didn't like hit me up to come ride. Like something like kind of a bit like, said something like that in his comments. He's like, yo, I'm gonna shout you next. Like, he actually replied and was like, yo, I'm gonna hit you up next time. Like, let's link up. I was like, damn, all right, cool. Like, I was almost kind of just joking when I'm texted that. So I've linked up with Ryan a couple of times. We shot some photos. We started, you know, talking to some more. He moved to London, so we were hanging out some more and riding a bit more. And at the time, funnily enough, someone I grew up around called Barney, who I was in a sort of BMX scene with, who used to ride at my local skate park, he was one of another owner of the bike brand as well, Collective Bikes. So now I know two of the three owners of Collective Bikes, and at these times they're only selling BMX bikes. And one of their BMX bikes was called the C1. So I was like, yo, you got the C1? Like, I remember at a bike store saying to one of them, like, yo, you got the C1? Like,
yeah,
why don't we make a C100? Like, thinking of like a fun signature BMX. And then, yeah, these guys come back to me a while later and was just like, yo, let's make you a signature mountain bike. And I was like, sweet, I'm down. So then I started working with their team on the sort of geometries that I want. I had like a full, yeah, I literally got to design the sort of geometries, the size of the frame, help with the sort of componentry, the colorways. I got to pick everything, the sort of decals that go on the frame, the decals down the bottom tube, down the down tube. Is that the down tube or the bottom tube?
The down tube, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, then, it might be called different things, and yeah. You know. That's put your brake on the other side.
Yeah, we have it.
You have your brake swapped.
But yeah, like even the decals are like inspired by the London Underground, like the train map.
Ah, okay.
And then on the bottom of the frame it says keep it 100, and yeah, that's the bike right there. That's the original signature color.
I remember when this one came out. You had this. It just came out when I filmed you. You're like, this is the new bike.
Yeah, this was the pro one. Yes.
So this one came out, the orange, and then, yeah, everyone can see what we're seeing, or what you're seeing right now.
Yeah, and the gray one.
I like this one with the black with the holographic, the chrome. Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, it's fire, because it's like almost like a rainbowy chrome, something like, depending where you look at it.
And then this gray one's the newest one, right?
Yeah, that's the one I'm riding right now. I'm riding the gray pro.
Yeah, so you've had three come out over, what, the last year and a half, 2 years, and they seem to all sell out.
Yeah, it's
crazy, man, dude.
Crazy, like it's
crazy.
It's mind blowing. Like every time I talk about it, it still blows my mind. Cause like we had a drop the other day, last week. Obviously, there haven't been some bikes. Bikes had been delayed because of the coronavirus and stuff.
Yeah.
And it hadn't been a drop for like 2 months. Literally dropped a big batch last week, and they sold out in 7 hours. Like four
bikes. Oh, my goodness.
Same evening, by midnight, every single bike was sold out, and they launched at 4 p.m. Like,
wow.
Yeah, which is, yeah, it's still crazy for me to, like, even think that.
That's great,
bikes,
man,
can sell out that have my name on it, you know.
Hopefully you got a good deal through all that.
Oh, no, I'm good.
That's awesome, man. I'm sure they're stoked that they put you on too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. They must be. Because it's, yeah, I guess our scene right now is growing so much, like, and so quickly, and it still is, and it has been for the past couple of years. Because it's so accessible to to anyone, basically, wherever you are, it's accessible. They feel like they made the right decision at the time, which is good, and I'm happy with the bikes, and I love riding the bike, and I'm able to give the boys that I ride with bikes every now and then, and have everyone on the team. Like, yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's great.
I have a couple questions about the bike.
Yeah. Hit me with them.
You ever think of or why did you go with a mountain bike with gears? First of all, why don't you try a single speed?
I had, that's funny. Look, even on my wall, look, I got the single speed frame.
Yo.
And then that was like my orange clockwork. That's my old MTV, which kind of looks a little similar, right? Yeah. But I had, I remember I started on a mountain bike because I didn't even know about big single speeds or anything. Like, I knew about BMX, mountain bikes, or road bikes. Like, that's all I knew about when I started. So I had a mountain bike, like a Hardtail 27.5, a Savage on Tough Tracks. It was a sick little bike. That was my first ever bike. And then, had gears, that's what I learned on. had a couple more mountain bikes. Then I remember at the first ever bike storms, I won a couple hundred quid from the competition. I had the most points over the five different categories and won a few hundred quid, like a few hundred pounds for anyone that doesn't know. And literally next day I went and bought SE bike, a big ripper. I'd seen D-blocks and whatnot out in New York riding them. Well, fuck it, let me get a big rim. No one in the UK had them at this point as well. Like, I was literally the first person I've seen out here to have an SD bike as well. So I had that for a while. Got it powder coated. Like, it's all like a custom color right now and stuff. And then literally the frame cracked. The frame cracked.
You cracked so that shit?
Yeah,
crap. Damn.
In that bit down here.
Ooh, the chainstay. On the non-drive side? On the other side? Non-drive side. Too much swerve.
Yeah, I think so.
Too much torque in your swerve.
yeah, and I think, so it cracked.
Did you try to talk to them?
So through like warranty and whatnot, like not through SE direct, but through warranty and wherever I got it from, I got done frame sent out. But by that time, I bought a different mountain bike, and so I just sold that, the new frame, the warranty frame, I just sold that straight away. Then a year or two down the line, I got another SE bike, I got a Public Enemy one. I remember buying that, but unfortunately, it just wasn't my thing. Like, I bought it because something broke on my mountain bike. I was like, fuck, I need a bike. So I just went and bought a Public Enemy real quick, and then
you didn't like it.
I hardly rode it, and I sold it. And got back on a mountain bike again. And then mountain bikes, it's more London. Like, it's like, that's where the sort of scene came from. It's like originated from kids on mountain bikes just popping wheelies. So it's like, as much as I prefer mountain bikes, it's also like, that's kind of where I came from. So I enjoy just sticking on that sort of bike. And it's cool to see how far we've come from just buying some stock mountain bike with knobbly tires and this to having a custom worms bike on it. That's sort of designed for it, you know? So I love a mountain bike.
So you use the suspension, right? You pump it before you wheelie, or do you just pull up?
More time I pull up, like, I don't really, I won't think about using the suspension. It probably does, like, I do use it.
You probably do.
Like, I don't lock my suspension, like, I have it bouncy. But, like, I don't see it as a way of wheeling easier or something. Like, it's just like, it's more comfortable coming down from tricks.
Yeah.
And like, I'm hopping up and down curbs, riding downstairs, I'm hitting little off-road bits, I'm cutting through parks. So it's literally just, it just seems best suited for any terrain.
Did you see that I rode my wheelie bike in today? There it is right there. You see that?
That's right, baby.
I wrote it in for you, man.
The although, seat doesn't look the most comfortable though.
Nah, the seat, that's the thing. Yo, that's the thing with the wheelie scene. You got to have your seat kind of at an angle for a wheelie, so you're sitting in it where it's not in the right angle when you're sitting the like normal way. But I can pull a little bit of wheelies on it. I'm not like a Matt Reyes or you, but I've been learning to feather the brake a little bit.
Yeah.
It's weird, man.
No, I have my seat. Yeah, I literally have my seat all the way slammed as well. Like down.
Deep all the way. Well, that one has a button. My seat goes up and down.
Oh, you got a dropper.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
I know.
I ride that thing on trails, man.
I took this on the trails yesterday, though. We have a new park in Stratford, this big park in East London. We have, they've built like some mountain bike trails through there, which is, they're all right.
Do you see any changes coming up in the scene? Like, do you think people will take wheelies? I see sometimes there's some of your homies are riding in skate parks and hitting transitions.
Kind of
doing stuff like that, like outside or not really on the street. Do you see people taking it other places, like maybe even the trails?
What, the wheelie stuff?
Wheelies are just kind of, you know, like pushing the scene kind of on the skirts, the outskirts of the boundaries of where everything is right now, you know?
Yeah, I think for sure, like, as time goes on and, you know, I think as time goes on already, it's like the roads are, you can only, like, you only ride the roads so many times before you're like, oh, I want to ride something else now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's, I guess that's like us, right? Me and my friend Bradley right now on the project is normally every single night or every night or like every day we'd ride into central London and ride through the city and hit the river and go to the skate parks and find cool street spots. But then now we're like trying to think, all right, how can we push the sport into a new kind of, like, let's unlock a whole bunch of new tricks. Like, let's push the sport into a new way so that kids in a car park can try these sort of tricks.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Like different stuff like that. But as far as, I think when it comes to the off-road stuff, I don't think it will become like a common thing where you're going to see kids who focus on how can I wheelie off-road.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think it would be sick if,
or like hitting, case, or hitting like dirt jumps more, like on the wheelie bikes, you know?
Yeah, like you do see the odd person doing it here and there, but it's not like
a big bunny hops.
Yeah, it's not like a common thing that goes down, but I think it would be sick though.
Yeah,
like, I'd be down. Huge, like, I really want to hit the dirt.
Yeah, like a huge hop over a trash bin, like in London, and then land into like a manual into a wheelie, and then just wheelie in the street or something, you know?
Yeah,
connecting shit like that.
Yeah, I think that's part. Like, I guess also in the past year, I'm more interested in hitting street spots as well now. So like, what can I do at street spots that, or like try and find these straight famous spots that skateboarders and BMXers and
yeah,
whatever I've hit, like, let's,
how can you hit,
like,
it,
how can I put it, my stamp on it for arson? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
certain spots in London I'll pull up to and be like, yo, I remember when this skateboarder flew down these stairs and then this BMXer came and done all of this stuff, then this rollerblader's gone and done some stuff, free runner's done some stuff, like, how can we put a little stamp on yeah, it for arson? You know, which I'm more interested in now. My friend Bradley, who's like a jack of all trades, who BMX skateboards, he's one of those guys that is just
good at anything,
at literally anything. He's super into it too. So we just, yeah, we've started to try to hit some street spots and get some manis downstairs to like nollies over ledges and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we got some questions in the chat.
Yeah.
Dimitri wants to know what the story is behind that wheel behind your head.
Oh, this wheel?
That's, yeah.
That's a funny one. I was in Barcelona. It must be 2 years ago now. Damn, time flies. But yeah, I was in Barcelona.
What happened?
I flew out there with little Harry, who he's killing it right now as well. Flew out there with him, and then a couple of the other collective boys joined us. We ended up just in Barcelona for a few days. Anthony Panza was out there at the same time.
Ah.
Billy Perry and stuff. So we was riding with all those boys too, and some of the other BMX riders that were in Barcelona.
Oh, that's right. You guys did that hill bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
In Barcelona. I remember that video.
And crashed.
Oh, you crashed on the hill bomb?
No, Panza did.
Oh, fucking Panza.
He's come around the corner and he's like dashed his bike and it's gone into the front of a car.
Oh, shit.
Like bounced off the...
Were they brakeless?
Yeah, he was breaking us down.
Right. Yeah.
Tibi Darbo, and it's like the biggest freaking hill. But yeah, now he's in Barcelona. You know the Seawalls in Barcelona?
Yeah,
seen
yeah,
that spot? Yeah, I thought I would... Yeah, the massive walls. I thought I could do it, basically. I don't ride skate parks and stuff for years, so I'm not like used to hitting these big quarters. But me and my friend Grady, we was prepping ourselves one day, and it was like, yo, we're coming back. So we came back a few days later, early morning, no wind, no one there. And like, there's like four of these massive doors. I don't know how big they are, probably like 12 to 15 foot high and wide. And there's like four of them in a row. So we thought, let's go over the first one. And like, I've gone too fast, gone over the first one, didn't make the gap to ride down, and I'm going off the south, come off the top of the door on the second one.
Oh,
I've like pulled up the tiniest bit. I landed straight to flat.
Oh.
And the back wheel just blew, like fully blew. I went flying over the bars. Yeah, like fully boom. We're all gone. Yeah.
Damn.
Like, it was insane, yeah.
Did you roll out of it all right though?
Huh?
Were you all right? Did you get hurt?
Yeah, I didn't get hurt. Yeah. It's stupid. I went flying, flew over the handlebars, almost smacked my head on the floor. Didn't smack my head on the floor. Didn't even, like, that wasn't even the crash that, like, made me wear a helmet.
Yeah.
Now
I was about,
like,
to mention that next about the helmet.
Yeah, but, like, sorry. that wasn't
you transitioned right into it for me.
Yeah. I crashed another time in Barcelona on the same trip. And, like, I fell off a wall, and then my bike fell off the wall after me, and, like, the chains, they smacked my head, and I cut my head open. Like, even after that, I didn't wear a helmet. It took another injury to get to that stage.
And now you're rocking the helmet.
Yeah, now I'm rocking the helmet every time I ride.
And going back to think, like, you rode without a helmet and now you ride with a helmet. Mm. Now that you have a helmet on, does it really feel like you're wearing a helmet, or does it just feel like you're just on your bike now, right?
No, I'm just on my bike. Yeah. It's certain times
you get used to it. When it's hot and dripping, that's when it's a little bit irritating.
And then when you haven't got, sometimes when you haven't got a bag to, like, clip it on, like, I've been riding for like a couple hours and now I'm on my way home and I'm super sweaty and stuff, I want to just clip it to my bag and let the wind hit my hair. But yes, there's certain points where you're like, oh yeah, that was not the best. But overall, like, yeah, I don't even, like, when I leave my house, I don't even think about grabbing my helmet. I just grab it and go out, like, whack it on. I ride to my mate's house, even if I'm bouncing around, just put a helmet on, because it's like, and there's multiple reasons, I guess, for that, because it's like, obviously, one, being in the position I am with the amount of young people, and not even young people, whoever look up to me for what I do and kind of get inspired by what I do, it's like, in that sense, I probably should have been wearing a helmet way before I started wearing one. But also, the way that I crashed made me realize that really and truly, whenever I'm, really and truly can happen anytime, anywhere, that you're going to fall off and smack your head.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You never want to believe it. And for six something years, I thought I was indestructible and freaking immortal. And every time I fall off, I get back up and I'll do it again.
Yeah.
So what's the point? But then, yeah, it took one bad crash to kind of flip me over that point.
Yeah, I usually avoid the helmet debates because it can get very, people are very sensitive on it. And I'm never like, you need to wear a helmet. I'm just like, that's you, your decision. Really? But I'm you know, for wearing a helmet, especially just the kind of riding that we both do.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
crazies like you, I should wear a helmet and I need something to attach the camera to, I guess.
Yeah, my friends, none of my friends that I ride with right now, none of them wear helmets. Yeah. But, like, it's just not a thing. I'm not out here saying, yo, boys, like, you need to wear a helmet, you know, like, you're stupid if you don't.
You're rubbing off on them, though.
Do you think I should wear a helmet? I'll tell them, yeah, I think you should wear a helmet. But at the end of the day, you're the one who has to make that decision. And it's like the one saying that, I guess, relates to this world is like, a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from others. So it's like, you can learn, you can make the same mistake I made, but if you're smarter than me in this situation, you put a helmet on now so that you don't learn that mistake one day.
Yeah.
Like, and you've already learned the lesson without needing the lesson. So I guess, I recommend for people to wear a helmet, but if you don't wear a helmet, I don't blame you. Like, I didn't wear a helmet.
That's your decision.
It's
also especially sensitive in the kind of in the road cycling world in Europe in general. People didn't wear helmets there for a long time. Even in, you go back and watch like tour races, a lot of people didn't wear helmets for a long time.
Yeah.
And they're like pushing their bodies to the limits of, like, fatigue. You know, they're not wearing anything on their head. It's crazy. All right, off the helmet subject. Sorry. Just wanted to hit that real quick. Here's a sensitive subject. You can answer how you want, or you don't have to answer at all. Does Nike pay you well, or do they just sponsor you with free gear? I know this is a little personal.
So.
You don't have to.
I guess me being paid well is everyone's gonna have a different opinion on what well is. So in my eyes, I'm good. I'm happy. They do pay me, yes, but you know, they support me in a lot of other ways, other than just sending me gear as well. Like, so it's a real valuable relationship that I built with them. So yeah, you know, I'm in a good position.
Sweet. Yeah. Okay. And then Zach Morrison wants to know, what size mountain bike wheel, 26, 650B or 29?
For me,
sensitive subject here, guys.
For me, I'm a 29er guy.
Hey, for the speed.
For the speed. Ever since I got on a 29er, I've never wanted to go back to like a smaller wheel size. Especially, yeah, it's just the speed. Like, I just think it's better for certain tricks. It fits me better, the size, because I feel like the bikes end up being a bit bigger, and I just like the look of it as well.
Yeah.
I can put 29 by 2.1 tires on and feel super comfy and, yeah, have a lot of speed. But, yeah, I'm a 29er guy for sure. I do want a 26-inch bike, though. Not going to lie, 26 MTB. Because, like...
you can flick it around.
Yeah, like, I think, like, death spins and certain tricks, like these spinning tricks and certain tricks will be a lot easier with the smaller wheels.
Yeah. I'm sure so swerving on a smaller wheel bike's a little easier, too. Like,
possibly, yeah, it would probably feel more agile, I think. So
yeah,
I think, yeah, I do want to get a 26 one time and kind of try. I don't know if you've seen that guy Kamil Stunts out in Poland. He has a 26 MTB. He does mind-blowing tricks on it, like stupid, like backwards freaking hang fives down hills and like, yeah,
I'm gonna check. It's on Instagram. Yeah,
yeah, Kamil Stunts, like mind blown, like genuinely crazy stance he does. Like, it, yeah. So I do, after watching too many of his videos, I do want to get a little because his videos are it's fucked. And when he came to London, he came to bike storms one time and just did some of the most insane tricks, you know, that anyone's seen. So yeah, it does make me want to get a nice little 26 inch bike to just take to the basketball court or something and just try some tricks.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do it for no city rides or anything. I'll just do it for local car park sessions, you know.
Did you know of him before he came to London?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's cool to see when people have a huge skill set like that and then they just show up out of nowhere and you're like, what the fuck?
A lot of kids didn't know who he was, I feel, from who were at the ride, but I knew of him previously and stuff, and we'd spoke before. But yeah, when he pulled up, and at the end of like every bike songs, there's always at least a swerve competition, if not more competitions. So he had the strip to himself for a minute and was doing like nose manny 360s, like flat. Yeah. Whoa. Like, you know, the stoppy one where he's stopping.
Yeah, G-spin,
like,
V-turn.
Yeah, like he was doing bang them and like back, like handstands on his seat and like headstands on his seat whilst riding down the strip. And,
damn.
Like wheelies backwards and like, on his art bars and wheelies backwards down the strip and jumps on his saddle whilst doing like crazy trick. So yeah, it was sick to see like the reaction and the hype that he got. Like, it was insane.
Let me see. We got a couple of questions still. Let me see. They kind of got buried. We got a lot of helmet chatter here.
It always sparks it up.
Nah, they're all just, they're kind of agreeing with the helmet thing.
Yeah. No, but whenever a helmet is brought up in any conversation, I feel with riders, there's a whole conversation off the back of it. Like,
I guess, is there any, you have any plans? I know it's hard to have plans to travel anywhere right now because of everything that's going on, but let's talk past tense then. Did you have plans this year, of kind of,
yeah,
things, travel plans to go places and kind of do things?
Yeah, I was dead keen to come back. I love California.
Yeah.
Like, I love the hills. I love riding with the Fixie riders. I love the weather. I love
in the weed and the women.
the different I love the different like thingies as well, the like the sceneries. You can ride in the hills and then end up on the beach in the same day, or I could ride in downtown and then end up in the hills in the evening for sunset. Like, we don't, out where I'm from, is you ride in the city and you see the city. Really want to ride out, you might see some fields. And if we do want to go on a 60-something mile ride, we can end up at the beach, you know. But where in LA and California, it's just the hills and stuff. So I feel like I plan to go there at least once or twice a year, regardless. Just because I almost like going there and seeing it almost like a training couple weeks. Like, I can go there and hit speeds that I can't hit out here
because of the hills.
So yeah. I'll fly out there and smash hill bombs all week. And last time I went to San Francisco, and oh my God, I want to go back. I want to go back every day. So, yeah, plan to go there. I think
you gotta do Consulman if you go to San Francisco. It's in, you gotta cross the Golden Gate Bridge and go up.
Yeah, I did Twin Peak. What's the one? The one on the left, and then there was that tunnel we went through coming down in San Francisco. We rode over the Golden Gate Bridge.
You were over there. So it's a one way, like, and on the left is the ocean, and it's a one lane road, and it's swervy steep as hell. There's a sign that says like 18% caution, like trucks don't go down. Use your brakes.
We might have hit one. Yeah, my brakes start overheating as well. It does get.
I crashed on that turn. I went down in brakeless on a BMX a couple years back.
Yeah, so I never want to hit Cali and just hit some hills. And the southern LA, there's this one road that I want to go back to as well, because I went there in 2018, end of 2018. I went there as part of the I was shooting like a big web edit sort of style video for Collective, where I had clips in London, LA, and Dubai. But in the LA section, I hit this hill in Lake Elsinore. I don't know if you know where it is, just southern LA. And I've reached, I think I hit like 48 miles an hour on the back wheel.
On the back wheel.
The manual. I swear, ever since that day, I couldn't check how fast I was on the day because I had problems with the GoPro. Come back to the hotel and see I hit 48 and didn't go over 50, and I was pissed. Like,
oh,
I was gutted.
You were trying to hit the 50?
I was done. I'm trying to break 50. Like 50 on speed. I think I've gone over 50 in Wales and the hills out in Wales, but there was no, like, I didn't have a speed on my own, nothing on me. I had like a van kind of roughly telling me how fast I was, but I want to get a clip with a speedometer that says I've gone over 50 whilst wheeling, which would be sick. So I didn't want to do that. And then I guess I had other light plans to, I want to kind of do a bit of a tour of Europe at some point.
Yeah.
So hopefully next year with Down to Ride, I can do that. Take a couple of the boys who are going to kind of be on the team and help with things, go on a bit of a tour of Europe, and just hit, just touch base with all the other cities in Europe and kind of make some cool connections and amazing content in all these different settings and cultures, you know?
Yeah.
So they're my kind of two main places I want to go bike-wise once this is all over. Straight back to Cali in the winter.
Yeah, that's a good place to go.
The
weather's good.
And then in the summer or something, we like a bit of a... Yeah, I want to tour Europe for sure in a van with a bunch of boys. I think it'd be so much fun.
Like classic skate tours.
Yeah, like a classic one. Like, I love doing those sort of, making those sort of moves for our scene, sort of like doing, like, no one really dropped a web edit or like wheelie wise before, like the one that I did for like Collective and stuff. Like, I like kind of doing those things that the other scenes have done, but it hasn't really got to our scene yet.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of like trying to be the first, or just trying to be creative and do that for our scene, which is cool.
There's a question I missed from Jacques. It's Jake, what were the dynamics between cars and cyclists in London pre-pandemic?
Like, as in, I guess, as in like the relationship we had with cars, or like what it was like the streets were.
Yeah, how it was in as a cyclist who is wheeling in the streets with cars.
So I think, so it's funny, I think in London, it's, we're pretty, like, drivers are pretty chill about it. Like, they don't really care, they don't really pay them much notice. If anything, they'll probably pull their camera out and start filming us, beeping at us to, like, kind of do some more tricks and whatnot.
Oh, that's cool.
I think in London, where there's so many red lights, it's like you can't really be pissed off at someone riding in front of you, because in 20 seconds, you're going to be sitting at a red light if you're in a car. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I think that, yeah, and of course, I feel like any type of cyclist gets grief from a driver here and there, you know, like whatever the situation. But I think, yeah, I think in London, and I think where the traffic is so slow moving out in most of London, it's like people only see us for a split second anyway. So it's like you see us, and by the time you realize what we've done, we're already halfway down the road. And especially yeah. the way I ride, I'll be, yeah, you're catching me for a little second and I'm gone.
Yeah, and then you're between a gap between cars and then you're out.
Yeah, and then I just think, yeah, I think, obviously, I think I've never really had a proper negative situation with a driver, which is cool. But I feel like me and the people I ride with, you know, we keep it as respectful as possible to the other road users as well. So it's like if we're riding in the road and we're all chatting and we know a car's coming behind us, we're all going to move out of the way for the car. Like if we're riding in the road and a car's coming up at speed, we're going to move out of the way. Like we're not dickheads. So for me, my personal relationship with driving in London is super chill. Yeah. Like if anything, we have a good time. And like if someone does beep at me or whatever and, or do a stupid move to overtake me or something, I just... No, as long as they don't smack me off my bike, I'll just give them a little wave and a smile and
keep it positive.
Get on with my day. Like, there's no point getting in grief with drivers. It's not gonna get you anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, so
I got a good question I missed. Can you wheelie a fixed gear?
I can wheelie certain fixed gears. Some. I wouldn't say I have a lot of control either.
Okay.
More, you know, the faster you get.
Yeah, kind you gotta of, push a big like, gear.
Yeah, like I can wheelie certain fixed gears. Not any fixed gear that's kind of got like an aggressive positioning where you're like already leaning over the bars. Them ones I find super hard to wheelie.
Yeah,
because you're pop, especially the ones with the hard gears as well. Because you're already over the bars, then you gotta crank a hard gear. You don't want to be going too fast when you do it because you have no back brake to kind of save your ass. Like, so I feel I'm almost set up for failure when I jump on one of those fixies. But other fixies, like Matt's setup's a bit better. I don't think I wheelie Matt's. But like a couple boys out here, I can wheelie some of the fixies that have a bit more of a BMX style position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you're a bit more upright, a bit back. Yeah. Like, but wheels ain't as super skinny and big. Yeah. Like, yeah.
What about a unicycle? Can you ride a unicycle?
I've never tried. I've never been around a unicycle.
We got to get your, that's a video idea for you.
I really need
get a unicycle and film it and see like how long it takes me to ride a unicycle.
That'd be funny.
Because there's a lot of comments on anybody that does a wheelie in anything I ever put up. There's like a few haters that's always like, why doesn't he just get a unicycle?
Yeah.
He's only riding on one wheel.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see those comments all the time. But yeah, I've never been around a unicycle. I've been around a lot of other bikes. I can wheelie pretty much any other bike, like kids' bikes, road bikes. I wheelied an Omnium before when I used to work in the bike shop, like a cargo bike. But yeah, unicycle, that's one I need to master.
And you gotta make a video on that.
That'd be funny.
Buy a unicycle, have a timer in the corner and be like, all right, I'm gonna learn how to ride this thing right now.
It's funny, I'll probably give it to my boy Bradley. He'll probably do it in 5 seconds. It'll probably take me like 5 weeks. Like,
yeah. Danny Hengel, dude, I'm not pointing you out. You just reminded me of the comments. He actually said something in the chat. Riding a unicycle? Nah. Wheelie forever on a mountain bike? Okay.
Yeah, literally.
No. You just reminded me of some of the comments we've had in the past.
Yeah, that's literally how it would be.
Is there anything you wanna touch on before we wrap this up?
Yeah. When you come back to London,
dude, I wish I could talk about traveling and shit. I'm kind of in the same position. I don't know, and in the current situation, being in New York City, it's even especially sensitive. Like, I feel like no one really wants someone from New York, even in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, oh, you came from New York? Nah, yeah. You got to sit for 14 days in a closet and don't talk to nobody.
We're even allowed to, I think it's unlikely we'll even be allowed to fly to America this year.
Yeah, the borders are locked down. So no one talks about that. And it's been really like just sitting right here in the back of my brain, just like, I can't travel. I love to go places, you know? And I'm like blessed that I'm in New York City. Like, I love it here, but I also love to leave New York and see other places. Because I like to come back to New York. Like, I'm home in New York.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
For sure.
But like, I need perspective. I need to go to other places.
You don't want to feel trapped there.
Nah, I don't. This place is... So yeah, I have no plans. I do want to come back though.
Are the streets a lot busier out there now already?
Nah.
It's out here, it doesn't really feel like lockdown anymore.
Nah, it's still pretty mellow for the most part. I mean, yesterday I went and did some riding on the mountain bike and around the park because it was Memorial Day, American holiday. Everyone like picnics and. Goes outside, so it was like one of the first kind of holidays with everything going on where people are like outside.
Yeah,
so everyone was being cautious and giving each other room, it seemed like, but for the most part there was traffic around the park and stuff, but it's not that busy really,
you know? Yeah, it's still quiet here, and I guess you don't see as many big groups of people, but like, yeah, it pretty much seems to be chilling out a lot here.
Yeah.
Just restaurants and stuff are still closed.
Yeah, you guys also closed later, right? The
what
way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in the UK, they were like, "No, we're not doing. We're gonna let it." They kind of said something weird that I had to have a Matt kind of translate it for me. He basically, from what I thought, they were just like, "We're just gonna let everyone get sick. That way, they won't get sick." You know,
they were saying
basically everyone's going to get sick. So we're just going to let everyone get sick and then we won't have to worry about it later. It'll be a shock and then it'll be over.
Our country, the people running right now is.
You're talking to someone in the U.S., buddy.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of in the same boat. So, yeah, I feel like we're in almost the worst two countries for it right now. So,
yeah.
And it sucks.
It's bad. Yeah, I try to steer away from politics on the channel too, because people get real sensitive about that.
All right.
My only one thing I'm gonna say is he's just not a very good. I always think you should, if you're a leader, you should lead by example, kind of like what you were talking about with your helmet. But our dude won't even wear a mask outside. But he's telling everyone to wear a mask, but he won't. So it's like, yo, how are you supposed to? It's like you saying, like, you guys should wear a helmet, and then you're riding without a helmet. It's like,
yeah, it's like one of our guys.
Like, yo, you gotta lead by example, man.
The second in command is a whole. The country's erupting right now because like one of the top guys in the government, he like broke loads of lockdown rules or something himself, and now he's got like massive media teams and public outside his house shouting at him and. Coming up with big freaking like digital trucks playing videos of like people suffering from the coronavirus saying like, yo, you could have been like, yeah, everyone's telling him he needs to resign and stuff. So yeah.
Oh, it's happening. Kind of, wow.
Kind of in the same situation.
Yeah. It's
as long as, you know, I can still go out and ride my bike at the end of the day and, you know, as many people as possible are staying safe and healthy. That's what matters, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, if there's one more thing you want to end on, what is it?
There's one more thing.
Anything? What do you want to say while we wrap this up?
Follow me on Instagram. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I got your Instagram in the description. Your Instagram's bubbling, dude. You don't need no help.
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, every little bit counts. It's in the description.
No, there's not anything I want to say. Just
yo, I forgot to put your YouTube. I fucked up. I didn't put your YouTube in the fucking description. That's what I should do.
I ain't uploading on
there. Hold on, no. I'm about to... Hold on. I'm going to drop it in the chat right now for everybody.
Yeah.
Let me see.
I'm going to be back on there soon.
140K. This man is hitting.
I'm trying.
Woo! You got that plaque, right? Yo, show us the plaque because I'm looking forward to it one of these days.
Yeah,
This is some YouTube shit right here. Yo, hey, say Jake 100 on it.
Yeah, like
hell yeah, sick.
Yeah, I was pretty gassed.
Smash that like button. Kaa! All right, I just dropped your YouTube channel in there, so people you. I'll put your Instagram so everyone can get it easily as well.
Have you jumped on TikTok yet?
Nah,
you know that guy.
I can't. So I will tell you, everyone here is gonna be like, "Shut up, Terry," because I've been talking about it like every time I stream. But yeah. I'm going on Twitch. I'm going like further into the live stream thing. This is like definitely something that I think is important and valuable for me and for the people at home watching. Like, this is cool for me to become just a better, more inquisitive person and talking to other people, especially now that it's kind of harder to meet up with people.
You do a good job at it, bro.
I mean, I fucked up pretty bad on the intro. Sorry about that.
Did you? I didn't even know.
I did. It's all good. Anyways, I think this is cool, but I'm going further down the live stream hole on Twitch. And it's different from this content. I'm streaming live out on the streets, like perfect, like good quality connection. Like, I had invested in a bunch of gear to do it. Yeah, while I'm riding.
Sick. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a different environment, a different scene. And I was a little worried about putting it on YouTube because I don't want to confuse people with the kind of content that I put on YouTube and Twitch. It's definitely different stuff. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so look out for me on Twitch, dog.
Let me drop my own, never even gone on Twitch.
Twitch is weird, man. I'm getting used to it. I'm just learning about it right now. So
yeah, I almost got on it at the start of lockdown. I was about to start streaming me playing PlayStation, and then
it's like a video game.
I was just
thing.
No, I don't want to be a gamer. Yeah, I'll just enjoy the game for myself.
you're hanging out with people. Like, I follow some people who, there's a guy who's helped me a lot on like putting me in the right direction of where to find out more information for the live stream thing. Cause it's different when you're away from a desk. Like, you need different SIM cards and modems and like this device and all this shit you have to wear. You know, because if you have a drop, you got to have a clean connection the whole time. So this guy, his stream, he's just like eats dinner with you every night. He's like eating every stream. It's tight, though. He's just having conversation. There's like 80 or so people in there and they all know each other.
I see.
It's pretty funny. It's kind of weird at first. And then you're like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. You get to know them. Anyways. Uh-oh. There he is. I see his face. He's back. You froze for a second. Yeah, I thought we lost you. All right, man. Jake, thank you so much. I hope I can see you in person soon. It's
man. We
been
go to
too
Vatican
long.
For sure.
If it's not London, maybe I can catch you in California if they'll even let me.
Or New York. I'm going to definitely be in New York after my Cali trip. For sure. I need to come back. Need to hit 7th Avenue again, you know?
Yeah. We got to film some more. It was cool to experiment with that little camera and that video style, but I have some other ideas of some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Especially with you and Lottie together. Like passing the camera kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait to do that again.
Like passing the camera stuff through traffic kind of stuff would be sick.
No.
Anyways, thank you again. I know it's late there. Thanks for hanging out, and
it's cool.
Hit me up when you're ready to travel, man.
Huh?
I said, hit me up when you're ready to travel. Bad right now, man. All right, man. Peace out.
Right, have a good one.
See ya.
See ya.
All right. That was Jake 100. Thank you guys for tuning in for today's morning routine. I hope you enjoyed that peacock, baby. It was a good one. If you guys aren't familiar with Jake's stuff, hopefully you got a little introduction there. He's doing good things in the community. He's in a different subgenre, but we're all in the bike. We're all doing bike stuff. We're all outside pushing it. And he's also, like I said, he's got his hands in everything. And he's looking out for the youth over there, which is really cool. And man, he makes videos. He rides wheelies. He's like building a brand, pretty much role model in fostering the young kids and teaching them some skill sets. So that's a really cool thing. Anyways, thank you guys. I appreciate you. This is the end of the morning routine. Number 56. I might jump on Twitch. Maybe you can see me there. I'll see you. Peace.
I haven't ridden in a while. I'm sure you're gonna make me look bad.
Thank you.